Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We're continuing to make our way through this wonderful and important season of the church here, the season of Advent, when we prepare ourselves to celebrate the first coming of our Lord, the incarnation, the astounding miracle that was initiated in the heart of God the Father for the sake of the salvation of the world, where God, the beloved Son of God, enters the story, his own story, and becomes one of us. And because of it, the human race has a future. And we celebrate Jesus' coming, the gift the Father has given to us out of love for the salvation of the world. And we also have another eye. We have an eye on the return of the Lord in this season. It's also a season of waiting and watching, of preparation, of remembering what Jesus said about his return. And what I'd like to do today is take a look at a few paragraphs from the Catechism to set up a reflection on chapter 5 from John's Gospel. You can see how clear Jesus is about what the Father has given him to do, who he is in relationship to the Father. And he's speaking to religious leaders in Israel. It's one of these very dramatic scenes in the life of Jesus as he confronts the leadership who refuses to open up their eyes to see who Jesus is and receive his kingship and his lordship. And so there's a lot of wisdom and teaching in it. We'll break open. Let's begin with paragraph 678 of the Catechism, talking about the return of the Lord. It says, following in the steps of the prophets and John the Baptist, Jesus announced the judgment of the last day in his preaching. Then will the conduct of each one and the secrets of hearts be brought to light. Then will the culpable unbelief that counted the offer of God's grace as nothing be condemned. Our attitude toward our neighbor will disclose acceptance or refusal of grace and divine love. On the last day, Jesus will say, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. There's a lot packed in that paragraph, but following the footsteps of John the Baptist, the Catechism reminds us here that Jesus announced the judgment day. John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Lord, and his message was, and his baptism, it's called the baptism of repentance, that is to call out to the people of Israel to turn the direction of their lives, their mind, their heart, and turn it toward God, and come and receive a baptism and acknowledge their need for God's salvation, readying themselves for the day of judgment. The paragraph goes on, it says, then will the conduct of each one in the secrets of hearts be brought to light. Here's the central reality of what's going to happen on the day of judgment. This is an appointment that every single one of us is destined to have, whether we believe in God or not, whether we reject completely who Jesus said he was or not, doesn't matter. This day will happen. It should be in your, you know, it's on the schedule, you might say, from God. It's a day that is certain to happen, and what it's about is the reality of what you and I have chosen, what's in our hearts. Did we receive God's gift of his beloved son Jesus or not? And remember the things that Jesus said. He is very strong, very direct. He said, it's not enough to say, Lord, Lord. What we need to do is to follow in his footsteps, and we need to obey God. We need to believe in Jesus and Jesus' claims, who he is, and his work of salvation. We need to repent of our sins and turn to him. Actually, it all begins with baptism, repentance, and baptism. First, believing the claims of Jesus, as in Acts 2, as Peter was preaching, people's hearts were stirred within, set on fire. Conviction came on them as Peter preached and declared that Jesus was truly the Messiah and Lord of all, and that all authority belonged to him. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit came on them to lead them to repent and to change the direction because they wanted to receive. Okay, what do we do? Is what they asked. And Peter said, here's what you need to do. He said, you need to repent, first be baptized for the repentance of your sins, right? And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So repentance and baptism to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit is foundational. It's fundamental. Jesus himself said, unless you're born again by water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So how we lived our life here on earth is going to be manifested in an instant before the Lord, whose eyes are flaming fire, whose gaze will penetrate right through us. And so all hypocrisy, all compromise, all indifference to God's great offer of salvation will be revealed. And the true condition of what we've done, really, we have this freedom that God has given to us. You might say to cooperate with God's grace to write a story. Every single human being is absolutely unique. Every single human being has a capacity by God's choice to give God the Father and give the Lord Jesus the glory they deserve in a unique way, because every single one of us is unique. We're all meant to live for the glory of God, right? The glory of God is man fully alive in Christ. So at the end of our life, what we'll have is a legacy. We'll have a story. Our whole existence on earth will be a proclamation of some kind. What kind of life did I live? Did I receive God's offer of salvation? Did I, with all my heart, love the Lord and love my neighbor as I love myself? Did I fill the law full by yielding to the grace of the Holy Spirit in my life, who wants to change my heart and make it possible for me to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and to do that very thing, to fulfill the law, to fill the law full? And at the heart of it is, first and foremost, Jesus called the first and the greatest thing is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So on that day, as the Catechism says, what we'll see is the relationship from the core of my being, from my heart, from my spirit. What did I desire? What did I want? What were the choices that I made? How did I direct my heart and love toward the Father? Was it wholehearted? Was it full? None of us are perfect. We'll all fall. But the question is, what was the intention of my heart and how did I respond to the grace that I was given in the Holy Spirit? And how did I love my neighbor? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. Love is merciful. Love is tender, like Jesus. So that day, in this season of Advent, the church wants us at the beginning of this new church year is not only to celebrate the beginning of it all, when in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son into the world, born of a woman, but also to think about where it's all going. This is partly what it means as a Christian. I've said many times on the program, you're the light of the world, you're the salt of the earth. Part of what that means is you see what's going on. You understand the reality of life, that we're living, as the scripture says, in the last chapter, the last hour of human history. And we walk in this time in the wisdom of God, in the light of God, to bring that light to other people. That's part of the expression of love. And the next line here in this first paragraph is, then will the culpable unbelief that counted the offer of God's grace as nothing be condemned. We will be held responsible, every single one of us, for what we've done with the light that God has given to us. In Romans, I think, chapter 1, Paul says that it's possible for every human being to see, even in nature and creation itself, the hand of God. Because of that, we will be held responsible for how we responded to even that level of light. Then, of course, there's our conscience, the voice of our conscience. Did we listen to that light? And then ultimately, the revelation of God in the scriptures, the teaching of the church, the magisterium, the life of the church, the witness of the church, did we receive Christ in faith? Did we say yes to him? And so, everyone who refuses to come to the light, Jesus said, and of course, at the beginning of John's gospel, the gospel will take up, he gives this very dramatic assessment of the human heart in chapter 3 of John's gospel, where the famous line that everybody knows, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believed in him would not die but would have eternal life. Belief in Jesus leads to eternal life. It's God's love that makes this offer of salvation and eternal life through his son Jesus. Verse 17, though, goes on and says, for God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. There's God's fundamental intention. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In John's gospel, in some ways, the great sin is failure to believe in Jesus. God has spoken. And we'll see as we look at John's gospel a bit more as the week goes on, the many ways in which God has spoken and how the human heart resists it. But here in verse 19, we get a clue of how Jesus actually sees the condition of the human heart and what is at the root of the refusal to acknowledge him in the hearts of many. He said, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Men love darkness rather than light. Now, this is Jesus, the one who sees all things clearly. He's assessing the condition of the human heart and what man's default mode or preference is, the reality of living in a fallen world and being a fallen creature. The human heart loves darkness. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He's come to shine light into the darkness of the human heart. And what does that mean, the darkness? What they love darkness. Well, first of all, we love ourselves more than we love God. Inordinate self-love, pride, envy, jealousy, rivalry, unforgiveness, all this stuff, lust, hatred, bitterness, violence, all these things that are present deep within the human heart. And we end up doing these things and living this way, Jesus is saying, part because we have an affection for it. We love it. We want to put ourselves first. That's why Jesus said, if you want to come after me, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. You have to recognize this is in you, and the power, the drive, the flesh, the willfulness that's within us. My will be done. He said, you need to see how deep that's in you, and you need to deny yourself, that dimension of the powers that you have working in you that insist on putting yourself first. You can't be my follower if you're not going to do that. You have to belong to me now, not some other idol, some other desire, some other dream, some other whatever. Jesus must sit at the center. As Peter said, he must be enthroned in my heart, in your heart. And we have to be willing to come to the light. And to do that, we have to acknowledge, as Jesus said, that our deeds are evil. We have to recognize it. So we're either going to recognize it here on earth and repent and receive God's mercy and forgiveness and come into the light and enter into eternal life, into the waters of baptism, become a new creation, enter his body, and have Jesus at the center of our life. That's either going to happen here, or we're going to have to acknowledge the sin on that day, as the Catechism says in paragraph 678. When the culpable unbelief that counted the offer of God's grace as nothing be condemned. So condemnation and eternal separation from God is possible. The church doesn't come to condemn. She's got the heart of Jesus. She comes in mercy, but she comes with a deep sense of urgency to remind us of the stakes, to help us keep in mind what this life is really all about. It's not a pleasure cruise. It's not about me getting everything I want in this life. I was made by God. I was made for God. I will ultimately only find my happiness in God, which is why the Lord won't let us fool around and play in the mud too long. Paragraph 679, Christ is Lord of eternal life. Full right to pass definitive judgment on the works and hearts of men belongs to him as the Redeemer of the world. He's acquired this right by the cross, and the Father has given all judgment to the Son. This is a theme we'll take up in the next few days. In John's Gospel, Jesus describes that very thing for us. It's so important for us to lay hold of it here in this season of Advent. Friends, let's open our hearts and walk in the footsteps of Jesus today. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.